We're right in the middle of a conversation. We're trying to figure out which Tana, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, is Choshesh Lemisa, which one is not Choshesh Lemisa. And this came up in a number of different contexts. It first came up over here because we were talking about using an animal as a wall for a sukkah. Rabbi Meir had a problem with it because apparently Rabbi Meir is concerned the animal might die, whereas Rabbi Yehuda did not have a problem with it because apparently Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned the animal might die. We then discussed the case of a husband who's a Kohen who goes off on a trip somewhere or who gives a wife a get that should be chal right before he dies. Do we have to be concerned that the wife should not be allowed to eat truma because maybe the husband is about to die at any given moment? So again, that also, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda. And then we had a third case of a barrel of wine that you're mafresh, that's Shabbos, and you can't actually be mafresh truma. Can you declare part of it to whatever you ultimately one day will be mafresh as truma starting right now, or are we concerned that the barrel will die, so to speak, will break before you have a chance to be mafresh? So the Gemara says, you know, we've explained that Abaye is not really a stira, that Abaye is not Soser himself, that he thinks Reb Meir is the one who is Choshish Lemisa, Reb Yehuda is the one who's not Choshish Lemisa. But the problem is that doesn't really account for all three examples, because Kasha de Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir, it's still a stira in Reb Meir. When it comes to using an animal as a wall of the sukkah, Reb Meir is concerned the animal might die and therefore he passes it. Yet when it comes to taking wine and declaring it to be truma, Reb Meir is one that thinks it's no problem. He's not concerned that the barrel is going to die. Amar lach Reb Meir, so Reb Meir might tell you, misa shchicha, v'kias hanod lo shchicha. Death of a living thing happens all the time. But an inanimate object, like a barrel, breaking, that's not so common. Efshar de masulei l'shomer, you could just, you know, protect it really well, make sure that it's in a safe place, make sure that someone is being paid to guard it, and then you don't have to be worried that it's going to break. It says Mar Kasha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, but we have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda as well. When it comes to the animal being used as a wall of the sukkah, he's not concerned that the animal is going to die. Yet when it comes to the wine, he is concerned that the barrel is going to break. So says Gemara, time the Rabbi Yehuda lav mishum d'chayish l'bikiyas nod, el mishum d'las l'breira. You're misunderstanding what Rabbi Yehuda's problem is in declaring the wine to be truma or meiser. It's not that he's concerned that the barrel's going to break. No, he thinks the barrel's just fine. What he's concerned about is that he doesn't think that you can rely on Breira. That what? The 10 lug of wine that Osir Ani LaHafrish will be Maisa Rishon? Which 10 lug is it? Right now I can't identify which 10 lug it is. It relies on retroactive clarification. And that's what makes Rabbi Yehuda uncomfortable with this. So the Gemara asks, V'lo Chayesh Rabbi Yehuda L'Bikias Nod? Is that true that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about a barrel breaking? Is that not his primary concern? Vami Diktani Seifa, but the Seifa of that price about buying wine tells us, Amru Lo, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon said, L'Rabbi Meir, to Rabbi Meir, who allows drinking this wine, Iyata Modesh Hami Yibaka Anod, V'nimse Zesho Setvelim La'freya, aren't you concerned that the barrel might break and this guy's going to be drinking Tevel retroactively? Va'amar Luhuen Remeir said, L'kishayi baka. Yeah, you know what? When the barrel breaks, we'll talk about it. But we don't have to worry about that. So don't you see from the way Rabbi Yehuda said that, Mechal D'chayish Rabbi Yehuda L'bikiyas Anod, that Rabbi Yehuda's whole concern was that the barrel might break? So why does Rabbi Yehuda allow using an animal for a wall for a sukkah? Why isn't he concerned that the animal might die the same way he's concerned that the barrel might break? So says Gemara, Hasam, Rabbi Yehuda would come to Rabbi Meir. No, Rabbi Yehuda is not actually concerned that the barrel might break. Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir as follows, Lididi lasli brera. I don't think this whole declaring trumas and maestros on Shabbos and then separating it later, I don't think it works anyway, because I don't hold of the whole brera concept. El lididach, the yesh brera. But according to you, that you think this brera business works, shouldn't you at least be concerned? Don't you at least admit that we have to be concerned that the barrel will break? Because you, Lishitaso, are concerned about the animal dying. You're concerned about the husband dying. Why aren't you concerned about the barrel dying? Amarle, Rameir answers, Likshayibaka, I'm just not concerned about a barrel breaking. A barrel's an inanimate object. It's not something that bothers me. So, Frak the Gemara, Velochayish Rabbi Yehuda Lemisa, is Rabbi Yehuda not concerned about death, that he allows using an animal as a wall for a sukkah? V'atnan, but we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af isha acheres maskinin lo shema tomos ishto. The first Mishnah in Meseches Yoma talks about how we prepare the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, and one of the things the Kohen Gadol needs to have on Yom Kippur to do the avoda is a wife. So Rabbi Yehuda says we prepare a backup wife just in case his wife dies. So don't you see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about Misa? He's concerned the Kohen Gadol's wife might die. The Gemara explains that's a special chumrah that we have for Yom Kippur as an extra added concern for the sake of Yom Kippur, but that's not really something that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about on it when it comes to regular areas of halacha that somebody is going to die. Let's do some main points. Main point number one: we have a stira whether we're choshesh for misa, both within Shittas Rav Meir and within Shittas Rav Yehuda, a stira between Bikias Hanod and Sukkah. Right, meaning by Bikias Hanod, Rav Meir seemed to be the one that was not concerned the barrel will break, but he is concerned about an animal dying. And Rabbi Yehuda is the opposite. So it's a, we dealt with the stira on both of them. And then we said that the logic for Rabbi Yehuda being concerned about the barrel is not because he's concerned about Bikias Hanod, it's because he doesn't hold the Breira. He simply doesn't hold the Breira to begin with. Now, says the Gemara, Bein Laman D'Yamar Sheva Tomas. Let's go back to Rav Meir's Shita, right? Rav Meir held, you're not allowed to use an animal as a wall for a sukkah. And we had two explanations of why that might be the case. Either he's concerned the animal might die, or he's concerned that the animal, or he's not concerned an animal will die, he's just concerned the animal might run away. But both of them seem to hold, whether you hold that it's a concern the animal might this, the animal might that, that on a daraisa level, it's a perfectly good mechitza of rabbanon who degazurba, and it's only a dimid rabbanon that there were goes there. Elamayata, but if that's the case, the Rav Meir titma mishum golem. According to Rav Meir, we should allow an animal to be considered tamei as a golem, as a covering to an aron. According to Abaye and Rabbi Zeira, that the reason Rav Meir is because of concerns midrabanan, shematamul, shemativrach, and that's why he's machmir when it comes to sukkah. He's machmir when it comes to lachi. He's machmir when it comes to pasi biraos. Don't count the animal as a mechitza because midrabanan I'm concerned about something. But when it comes to being mekel, would he be mekel? Because if it's all a concern, midrabanan, would he be mekel and say that the animal does not have the status of tumas golel? It can't be that it's not going to have the status of tumas golel because of a concern, midrabanan, or shema tamos, or shema tivrach. Alamatnan, why then does it say in Erevin that someone who uses an animal to make a golel mace, Rabbi Yehuda metami mishum golel, Rabbi Meir metayer, that Rabbi Meir is metayer, he thinks that it's not a problem of a golel. Ella Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, you know what? We misunderstood Rav Meir. Rav Meir's concern about the animal being used as a wall of a sukkah is not a chashash midrabanan. It's a real din mida oraisa that an animal cannot be used as a wall of a sukkah. Kosav Rav Meir kol mechitza shomedes beruach ein a mechitza. Rav Meir holds that any mechitza that is held up by ruach is not a mechitza. Over here, the ruach in question is a ruach chayim. It's the living nature of the animal. Ikeda Amri Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kasav Rav Meir, Kol Mechitza Shein Asui Bidei Adam, Eina Mechitza. Others say that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov explained that Rav Meir's logic is that any Mechitza that's not man-made is not a Mechitza begin, that it's a din da'oraisa, not some concern midrabanan. And my Beinai, what's enough gamina between these two explanations of Rav Meir? Ike Beinai, da'ukma binod tafuach, that the Mechitza is supported by like a balloon full of air. This would be considered a mechitza supported by ruach. But if you hold that any mechitza that's not man-made, well, this mechitza is in fact a man-made mechitza. So last main point over here, two more reasons that Meir doesn't allow a behemah as a dof from the sukkah. And these are d'oraisa, either because it's omedes beruach, or because it's not man-made. Nafkamina, if it's supported by a balloon. Okay, we will stop there. And Be'ezus Hashem, next time we will pick up at the two dots on Chaf Dalet Amid Beis.